Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd, and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Stare Down. It's our weekly sports talk and real estate show. I'm Sean Carpenter with Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, joined by my regular co-hosts. We got Bill Risser from Fidelity National down in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Todd Meininger in Cumming, Georgia. Let's start with you, Bill. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. Another wonderful, wacky world of sports this weekend. Had a lot of fun watching NFL today, and I think I shared earlier with you, Sean, that I had a great day on the golf course today because a par three on a birdie held up, paid $50, just makes your day. It's just a good little things like that, right?
you do $5 man skins?
It's $5. There's about 40 players this big game. And then another 15, you put 20 in because the other 15 goes to the first through fourth finishers in the handicapped game. So it's a big lot of fun. You can win a couple $100 if you have a good day.
That's awesome.
So yeah, a lot of.
So were you the only skin today? There had to be.
There were four. So there was 200 in the pot. There were four skins that held up. I feel really bad for a guy in my group because on a par five, he knocked it on a two, had about an 18, 20 footer, knocked it in for eagle. Got cut by somebody else who eagled the hole as well. So it's pretty bad when you're eagled.
Now, did the other guy putt for eagle, or did the other guy chip in from like 110 yards? You know.
No, it was. They both putted.
So, okay, good. Yeah, good.
Kind of a gettable par five. So,
yeah. Good. Good. Well, was the weather good, or was it kind of a cool day for you down in Tampa?
I don't want to tell you. You're going to be bummed. So, I mean, it was the high today was 77.
Beautiful.
And it was you had to take my light wind jacket off by the fourth hole. So it was gorgeous. Yeah.
All right. Good. Good. And let's say hi to Todd Meininger in Cumming, Georgia. Todd, welcome back. You had a week off last week. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Sean. Bill, you must not have been playing at Bushwood because we all know gambling is illegal at Bushwood.
Exactly. No, I wasn't. I was playing it. So it was West Chase, not Bushwood, but yeah, close.
So, Todd, tell us about your cruise. Where was your port of origin, and where did you stop?
So thanks for asking, Sean. Great week. You boys can see, but our listeners can't. I am not tan, but I am rested and ready. After a nice week off, went down to Orlando, spent the night at my sister's house. So we went over to Cape Canaveral, which is just about 45 minutes on the Atlantic side, and went to Bahamas, Jamaica, Grand Cayman in Mexico, and then back to Orlando. So great, great time. Missed out on last week's show, and I was telling you guys before, I was disconnected for a full week. Didn't hook up to Wi-Fi. So it's kind of a cool, liberating thing to do. It's kind of, I'm definitely refocused and ready to get back at it.
That's awesome. It's kind of the forced sabbatical was kind of nice. So you just didn't have to carry your phone with you when you walked around the boat then, huh?
Well, I'm new school. I don't wear a watch, so I had it on airplane mode. That is my timepiece. But yeah, just. You know, tried to get on Wi-Fi, and after about two tries, I was having trouble. I'm like, hey, this is a sign just to relax. So, hey, I got back yesterday, and it's amazing that you can go through texts and emails in about a day or so just to catch back up. So it's all good. All good.
Todd, I want to ask you a question about I've never been on a cruise ship, but I've been on a couple of, you know, multiple day trips on smaller boats where you get home, and for a day or so, you're still kind of – you're kind of trying to get your legs back under you, right? Because you're just so used to the motion. I'm just guessing those big cruise ships, that's not even an issue for most people.
Not an issue. But this is actually my third cruise. I had one in high school that I can't even remember doing. And then 2 years ago I went, and this year I went. And that's not an issue. No, the boats are so big. You feel when you're on the boat, you feel a little weight, but it's not like a smaller vessel where you feel like, you know, you need to get your land legs back. But no, that wasn't a problem. And again, just a good old fun time. I could share some fun stories around the roulette table at a later time. Let's just say there's some characters out there that spend a lot of money gambling. Let's just say that. So,
Are they like this? Are we 12 miles offshore? Are we 12 miles offshore? Are we 12 miles offshore?
And, you know, I am no teetotaler, and I'm not a big gambler, but it's amazing. 9 o'clock in the morning, half the boat is boozing hard. And the second the casino's open, guys are out there. And, I saw this one guy, keep me on track, Sean, but one guy was living at the roulette table. And then I saw him the next day walking around, his wife and his little daughter pushing a stroller. And he was in a hurry, and we went back down. I go, I bet he's dropping them off and going right back to the roulette table. So we went down to check, and he was right back there. He told me that he was down $5,000 at some point. So this is the kind of my wager here and there feels a lot better after seeing stuff like that. So
wow.
And you know those casinos are meant to win, and roulette is the worst odds of any game, and it's the game I love just because it's fun. I go there if I bring $100, I'm like, all right, I'm eventually going to lose that $100. But it's going to be fun in the process. That to me is the entertainment tax. But people try to win at it, and that's a long, long, tough road to haul.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I've been on one cruise in my life. I won a trip when I was a beer salesman with a bunch of other Miller distributors. So imagine the bar tab on that bill. But we hit Todd. I don't know, when you leave Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. You go through, I don't know what they call it, but the swift current, or there's something, trade winds or something. We hit some really rocky seas. And in fact, they even like closed down things early on the boat and told people to go to their cabins. And Bill, when we got to the Bahamas, I was noticeably wobbly on the walking, you know.
Yeah.
And Rhonda had to kind of hold my arm a little bit. Because you did feel, every once in a while, you would just feel like you're moving. And it's a cross between kind of vertigo and being drunk. Yeah, so it's an awkward feeling.
Yeah.
So, well, Todd, it's good to have you back. We'll get caught up on the first picks of the stare down. You were away, but you're in the lead going in to the big games that we have coming up. We had our friend Cody Butler, who's a rising star agent here with Coldwell Banker in Columbus. He might join us in a little bit. He's out. Bill trying to get one of his 36 for next year that he's talked about on the show. But we'll go through the rest of our picks. Guys, kind of a light week in sports, at least on the front end, because all we had was a couple bowl games, which I just kind of hinted at. But, Bill, your Lightning on fire. They extended their lead that we talked about last week. And they've played two less games than the Maple Leaf, who are in second place behind them. What's going on with the Lightning?
Everybody's healthy, and you know, a couple of moves they made last year to pick up a couple of players when they traded. I'm not going to remember the goalie's name, Brian Bishop, maybe. When they traded away to pick up some players from, I think it was Montreal, they're paying off as well. So I think a lot of good fortune. That's really it, and a lot of great play. So yeah, what did they have? 50 points or something like that? First team to 50. And no one's even really close, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and Kucherov and Stamkos are leading the league in points right now. Kucherov with 46, Stamkos with 43. A bunch of guys behind him with 40. But pretty impressive that those two guys, they play most of them the same line, so they're either one of them's feeding the other one, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I mentioned it before. Remember, Stamkos did the same thing with Marty St. Louis when he was young. And Marty St. Louis was the veteran. Stamkos played with him, and that's what we got going with Kucherov now. He's right there with Stamkos kind of, you know, being that guy. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, but, you know, the neat thing is, what's his name? Who's their backup center? Point. Is
Brandon Point, yeah.
Brandon Point is playing great. You know, he's coming in, and he's at 31 points. So he's in the top 25, which is pretty impressive to have three guys. And he's on the third line, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
Now your Lightning only have six losses. They have the least number of losses in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Columbus, who was in first last week, dropped behind the Capitals and the Devils. They had two kind of lackluster performances. They got smoked 7-2 by Edmonton. Just one of those performances where they get down early and then they're down 5-0 after two. And Just no fight in them, and it's, you know, a rough one for the home crowd to watch. And then they lost another game to the Carolina Hurricane, which is just one of those teams that you just can't lose to when you're trying to win. But they're still 2 points out. But I wanted to bring up, you guys have lost 6 points in Tampa Bay. Look out for the Predators. They've only lost 7 games, still two games up, and they are starting to play some really good. Remember, they were these runners up last year in the Stanley Cup to the Penguins. St. Louis has kind of held the lead in the in that division for a while, and now heads up from Nashville. They are right there in it.
Yep.
How's Vegas?
Golden Knights are still in second in the Pacific.
Yeah, gonna be a cool story to watch. And obviously when they get to the playoffs, it's gonna be interesting because, boy, if you're gonna go see a team, you know, if you're a fan of a team in the West and you want to go to a road playoff game, that'd be a fun one to go to, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. We're going to see that with the Raiders in a couple of years too.
Over in the NBA, let's hit on the NBA quickly. Not much has changed since last week, but heck of a little series. The Thunder goes on the road and plays a triple overtime game against Philadelphia. Did you see Joel Embiid's comments after the game? After Westbrook was kind of talking a little smack to him after the game.
Well, remember, Joel was the first guy that waved goodbye to Steve Adams when Adams he fouled out like in the third overtime period.
Okay, I didn't see that.
So Russell came back after that, and when they won the game, he was waving goodbye to Joel.
Okay.
So what did Embiid have to say about that?
Well, Embiid says, they said something like, what do you think about Westbrook this week? And he goes, well, you know, he's a good game. We just had a little talk at the end of the game, but, you know, he shot the ball 33 times. I mean, if I could shoot the ball 33 times, imagine how good I could score. You know, it was just kind of a rip on his 11 for 33 shooting. You know, but the stat line for the three big guys was pretty impressive in that game.
Hey, Sean, what night was that game? Because the Knicks, who are average, beat up OKC pretty good last night, right?
Yeah, it would have been third. I think they did back-to-back. So it was probably Friday night, then they played Saturday night in the Garden.
That explains maybe a little bit of a hangover triple game, right? Okay.
Yes. And
I was surprised, yeah.
And Carmelo got kind of a nice warm welcome. You know, Paul George got some boo birds in Indianapolis when they played there. That was, they've been on a long road swing on that. But other than that, you know, LeBron is playing great. He had his 60th triple double in his career.
Wow.
I believe that either today or last night. So playing obviously very, very strong in that. Let's go off the board for 200, Chuck, like we're in Joker's Wild, for those of you that used to watch that show. Todd, let's quickly talk about women's volleyball, if we can.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Sean. First of all, I think Bill's a big fan of the Snoop Dogg version of Joker's Wild that airs on TBS now. I think he's really into it. So
I'm perfectly honest, I haven't seen that. Now I have to find it.
Not hard. Yeah, Sean, I actually watched the match last night, and guilty, I fell asleep halfway through the third set. Were we swept in three sets, or did we make a?
No, we won the third set, lost in the fourth.
Okay, yeah, it was, you know, disappointing, but hey, you make a national championship game against a team. I mean, who knew, right? The Nebraska's won, what, 3 out of the last 5? I may be making it up, but
At least two of the last five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, God, who knew, right? I had no idea until I tuned in. So, you know, when I saw it, I was like, oh, Nebraska, let's go get another natty. And then I saw that stat, and they're seasoned for that.
Yeah, you know, Gators have won 3 national championships this year, maybe a fourth. If I'm missing swimming, I might be missing a swimming team or diving. But we won baseball, obviously. We won women's tennis, and we won men's track. So kind of impressive that we, you know, and we played for another one. So Mary Wise and her team, you guys will appreciate my blog post will come out tomorrow. The blog post will come out, obviously, before this podcast will, depending on how Bill does his magic. But my podcast for tomorrow is called The Professor That Never Stopped Teaching. I wrote a blog post years ago. In fact, it was 6.5 years ago, Todd. It was on the anniversary of graduating from University of Florida, August 91. And so I did a blog post 6 years ago called It Was 20 Years Ago Today. And I kind of wrote a memory post about my time in Gainesville. And one of the professors I referenced, the only professor, in fact, that I referenced, was Dr. Owen Holyoke, who was probably one of the hardest, crustiest son of a bitches I've ever had as a professor. But the guy who, now that I'm older and appreciate what he did, you know, I really appreciate it. And so I, out of the blue, I get this message from a guy who teaches at Florida, who says, I read a blog post that you wrote years ago, and my good friend is Owen Holyoke, and I read it to him, and he was, you know, he's really excited about it, and he wants you to reach out to him. So we've traded emails back and forth, and you'll read about it in my blog post, but it was kind of cool, Todd, that he's good friends with Mary Wise, and the reason why he couldn't respond back to me was he was up late watching the game in the semifinals against Stanford.
Were you, was that your kinesiology teacher, Sean?
That was not. Yeah,
it sounds like wait, there's a story there.
Sean, kinesiology, anatomy, you were a, what was your major again, Sean? In sports management, was it?
Sports administration.
Administration, and yeah. He had to take some really tough science classes to do it. One of them was kinesiology, and I remember you and
Sandberg, yeah.
Going through those classes.
Yeah, I loved anatomy. Anatomy was great, but kinesiology took it to the whole another level. Anatomy was just remembering the 206 bones in the body and the muscles and things like that. But boy, the kinesiology, when you have to start figuring out the science of how it all works, was tough. But I think you'll appreciate it. But the cool story, I sent him the blog post I read about my dad, because I told him about how he reminded me a lot about my dad as a professor, and how all of my dad's students talked to me at his funeral about how they never liked my dad in college, but he made him a better student. And so I sent him that thing saying, you remind me a lot of my dad. And he sent me a note back saying, what a great tribute it was to my dad. And he's going to share it with a friend of his named Steve Spurrier, who loves to use teaching and coaching. Wow. So I put that in, I put that on my blog. But so tip of our cap to the Lady Gators. Let's talk college basketball. I want to talk about the fork out in the desert, Bill.
Would that be the fifth ranked ASU Sun Devils?
That would be the fifth ranked undefeated.
Undefeated.
Sun Devils. Talk about those guys. They are playing some serious ball. They beat Vandy today, today, I think, in the desert to stay undefeated. They've moved up to number 5 in the country. They're playing some good basketball, Bill.
Yeah. You got to put it with the coach, right? It starts with Bobby
Hurley,
right? Because you bring Bobby Hurley in last year, and he did what he could. I don't think there was a run to either the NIT. The NCAA wasn't for sure, but I don't think they made the NIT either. So it was a building year. And look, Trey Holder, their point guard is unbelievable. He's a future NBA player. Yeah, he came out of, I believe he came out of Phoenix. Maybe even out of Mesa. He's a local kid who stayed at ASU. Just amazing. And so that's a huge part of it, what's going on there. But Bobby Hurley, props to him. And it's been fun for Kevin and I to be trading texts back and forth, right? Because we feel fairly far removed from ASU. I mean, he has his degree from there, and we lived there for so long. But it's been fun to watch. A lot of fun.
Yeah, so they're 10-0. Oregon is 9-3. Arizona is 8-3, and they went on a 3-game losing streak. So Arizona, obviously, we all think Arizona is probably going to be there, but going to be a couple of fun games to watch. Villanova moves up to number 1 after the 2 losses by the number 1 teams last week, which we talked about on the show. Today, North Carolina beats Tennessee in what I think is always kind of a cool North Carolina thing that they do. Dean Smith started it. Guthridge and Doherty continued it, and now Roy Williams. Each year they try and play an away game in the home city of one of their seniors. So I just think that's neat that they went to Knoxville. One of their players is a Knoxville high schooler, grew up in Knoxville, and so they always try and go and play a road game. So imagine that the scheduling of that, you know, a year and a half out, and probably sometimes if the kids go pro, they ended up playing in a city, you know, where they're not from. So I remember they played somewhere in St. Louis. They played when Eric Montross was there. That's a cool thing. So they played in Knoxville today and beat Tennessee by 5. Todd, our Gators took one on the chin yesterday. Just once again, this is a team that was 2 weeks ago number 5 in the country. So Bill, be careful what you wish for, right? But
exactly.
They were number 5 in the country after a loss
to Duke.
After a loss to Duke, they moved up to number 5 because of how good they played, and they have just been, they just cannot
miserable.
Right they there. Can't. They can't score at the end. They have no inside presence. I don't know if John Abugnu is going to be, you know, what they think he's going to be. They are who we thought they were. You know, I mean, it's miserable. They were up 9 with I think under 3 minutes to go. They went 1 for their last 13 in the game. That's not good. They shot, I think, 8 of 19 from the line. That's not good. Interesting.
I'll take full blame, Sean. I was not yet on board. Always a fan, but kind of you know, tiptoeing into the water. And after that Duke game, I'm like, I really got to get in these guys. And have we won a game since? I don't know if we have.
Yeah. We beat UC. We beat a really good Cincinnati team who actually we beat them in I think it was like a Coaches for Cancer Classic or something like that. We beat them last Saturday night by 6 in a tight game where we played good at the end of the game. Mm. And UC, that's their only loss, except they lost to Xavier and to Florida. And they went on the road yesterday and beat UCLA by 12 or 13 points in Pauley Pavilion.
Wow.
So a good win for the Gators that might help us come seeding time. But we've got to get something figured out before the SEC play.
Mm.
I'm just not sure what's going on. Did you guys, Bill, did you see any of the Kentucky game yesterday?
I did not.
So Kentucky played against who they beat? They beat Virginia Tech, maybe. I think Virginia Tech. But they have a guy who plays and he wears sunglasses.
Yes.
Did you see it, Todd?
I saw the picture.
it's the first time I've ever seen it. He doesn't just wear protective goggles. They're like sunglasses. And so he was shooting free throws and I was like, who's this cool guy shooting free throws? It was so funny. But they're completely they're like Florida Highway Patrol mirrored glasses, Bill, when you see them.
I'm looking right now. I'm trying to find this. Trying to find the picture.
It was, I mean, I thought.
So is it has something to do with the glare, the lights, you know? I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson wore tinted visor.
Yes.
Yeah, and he had to get special clearance on the NFL to do that because – you know, it was considered a disadvantage for people not to see where his eyes were looking, right? So now there's a few players that do it, but you have to have some medical reason with the glare, the halo of the lights or something.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's happening in basketball. I mean, there's lots of bright lights shining down in those gyms, and maybe it was an issue.
Maybe, yeah.
It was also like that was Jim McMahon, the old Bears quarterback. Mm-hmm. They used to think he was all, you know, too cool for school, wearing sunglasses in the interview room and for the press conferences, but apparently in college at a food fight, he got a fork in the eye and was very sensitive to light. And with all those bright cameras, he always wore glasses. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it was,
and it was cool too.
It looked cool. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I agree.
All right, guys, let's talk NFL. Wow. We're getting down. We got 2 weeks left after today. We got still tonight's game and tomorrow night's game. But we're starting to see the picture is starting to come a little clearer in some of the playoffs, but these next 2 weeks, if you look at some of the matchups that the NFL has sort of left on the table, let's start with yesterday's games. Kind of an uneventful game in Detroit. Detroit easily dispatches with the Mitch Trubisky-led Bears in the kind of the, what would you call it, the late afternoon game. And then last night in the game, boy, I thought the Chargers looked pretty good and were, you know, right there. And then the running game of the Chiefs just kind of took over, right?
Yeah, Arrowhead's a tough place to play. Always has been. The Chiefs have a great home field advantage. And the Chargers, you know, Phillip did what he could, but he had his first interception or two in the last 3 or 4 games, I think. So he's that run they were on, which was, I mean, last 4 games, they'd outscored their opponents on average by 19.5 points. So that didn't happen. And that's a huge blow to the Chargers' hopes. Because, you know, they've got to win out, and they need help, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and the Chargers go to New York City next week, whereas the Kansas City Chiefs play at Miami at home. I like that defense against Jay Cutler, really, because the Dolphins are now done. That loss today eliminates them, I believe, from the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means they play Matt Moore or what. But that was a big opportunity for the Chargers.
Yeah. And they didn't rise up to it, which, you know, it's par for the course. We can move on.
Yeah. Is Rivers done after this year, Bill, or do you think he's got some more in him?
No, I think there's more in him. I think that one of the early guys, maybe it's Todd McShay's big draft board or whoever, one of those guys, had the Chargers taking one of the top three quarterbacks, first round pick, trying to kind of put in place Phillip's replacement. But I think Phillip's got another year or two in him, assuming he doesn't have like his ninth kid and his wife won't let him play anymore. I don't know. So
I could see Rivers being a really good mentor for somebody coming in. You know, he's got kind of that personality.
Son of a coach, right? You see it all the time.
All right, let's roll through some of the other games. I don't know what's going on in the night game, Bill. You probably got it on your screen there.
No score early in the first. Yeah.
Just kicked. Buffalo beats Miami in Buffalo. Not a surprise there. Baltimore beats Cleveland. No surprise there. Cleveland two games away from going winless. Did you see that there was a great tweet out? There's been three Star Wars movies since the Browns have won one game.
Oh my God.
The Browns have won one game, and there's been three Star Wars movies in that same time frame.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of stats about the Browns, right? They're the first team to go 4-45. Yes. Over now 4-46. So they've only won four of their last 50 games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Bengals take one on the chin to Minnesota. Minnesota needed that win after the loss to Carolina last week. Before the game, Marvin Lewis decides to announce that he will not return. Now there's some conversation as to whether he even talked to owner Mike Brown to tell him the news. My guess is he probably didn't want to talk to him because he didn't want to get fired, beforehand. But, once again, the Bengals team in disarray and, one of the worst run teams in the NFL. Jets and New Orleans was close, Bill. I don't know if you had that game kind of on the background. That game was close until the very end, and then who's the guy from Alabama? Ingram just busted off just a big run, like a 50-yard
touchdown. He's on my fantasy team. I had a very close eye on that game, Sean.
Oh, okay, so. good. Yeah,
so it was 17-10 for a long time. I mean, really, the Jets are hanging tough. They're a scary team. You know, you talk about the Chargers going to New York to play the Jets. That's not a gimme like you thought it would have been looking at the schedule, at the beginning of the year. So,
Todd, let's go. Well, both you guys are kind of, even though, Bill, your team's eliminated, what's the current status right now in the NFC South? Because obviously it's very possible all three of those teams make the playoffs. It just becomes now, is New Orleans who is in the catbird seat right now in that division? Is it Atlanta or is it Carolina?
No, it's New Orleans and Carolina are tied for first at 10-4. Atlanta's 8-5, a game and a half back. So both Carolina beating Green Bay and New Orleans holding on against the Jets hurt Atlanta. They've got to win tomorrow night just to stay a half game back, right?
Yeah, because if they lose tomorrow night, I think they get jumped by Green Bay. Does Green Bay – oh, no, Green Bay lost today.
Yeah, they're 7-7.
Well, I can check to see the wild card, who's in the hunt.
But so New Orleans is tied right now with Carolina, although they lost in Carolina 2 weeks ago, right?
So Atlanta – right now the wild card is Carolina-Atlanta 1-2.
Yep.
Detroit and Seattle are half game back.
So New Orleans in the lead right now in the South.
Yep,
correct.
New Orleans has the one game half game lead. Okay.
Yep.
All right, Bill, your boy Nick Foles leads the Eagles to.
He was Arizona, not Arizona State. Come on.
I know, but he had four TDs today in that victory, filling in for Carson Wentz.
And that was a close game. Are you kidding me? I mean, they were down three scores early.
Yeah. Yeah,
To the Giants, and so that was interesting.
Giants played inspired football. I had my eye on that game.
They did.
Yeah, Eli Manning, 434 yards passing.
Wow,
not a bad stat there.
Wasn't he benched 2 weeks ago too?
He was. He was.
To break an incredible streak. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the game. The game for me was the Seahawks just getting hammered. Whew. By the Rams and Seattle. They lit them up. Russell Wilson.
It wasn't even
human.
Close early. It wasn't even close. I mean, they were up 21-0.
No, it was 42-0. Yeah. No, that last touchdown was garbage time at the end of the third quarter. Garbage time at our.
I think it was
started.
40s because they scored. They scored a safety late in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was 42 there, but oh my gosh, they are the Rams for real? I mean, obviously they are, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people on the social media talking about the karma for the bad behavior by the Seahawks last week in Jacksonville. Remember, we talked about that as our show was airing.
Yep. Yep.
Kind of the cheap shots and the behavior that led to some suspensions there. That was a beatdown. Jacksonville, 45 points. This team, I think, I don't want to say it, guys, but their defense is really stout.
Yeah. And this is with Leonard Fournette not playing.
Didn't play.
So today, their best running back didn't play. Yeah. And they scored 45. So.
But I'll tell you, Bortles, once again, Bortles, let's see, his 326 yards. And that Keelan Cole, 186 yards receiving. I believe he had two touchdowns. They are really playing good football. I mean, Bill, you and I were talking before the show started. If Tennessee wins out, Tennessee somehow still wins the division because of a division record. Tennessee plays the Rams next week at home, and then they play the Jaguars the last week of the season at home. So the Tennessee finishes two games at home. If they win out, they win the South. But let's assume they lose to the Rams next week, and Jacksonville wins. Jacksonville gets a home game. You know, they're calling it Saxonville. They're playing some good football right now. They're leading the NFL, I believe, in turnovers. Really impressive victory today over Houston. Now, Houston, once again, not a great team with Deshaun Watson out. All right, let's quickly jump over the last game I want to talk about. Tennessee goes down, scores a field goal with a minute 12 left in Santa Clara to take the lead 23-22 over the Jimmy Garoppolo-led 49ers. And then, Bill, and I were watching that game.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo for MVP. I'm sorry.
he throws for a cool 381 today.
Jimmy Garoppolo? Who?
Yes.
Yes. And he drives the team down in a minute 12, and they kick a game winner. Robbie Gould from Penn State kicks a game winner as time expires to put a real dagger in Tennessee. They definitely, once again, they have to win out, and they're next week's game is not a, the Rams are going to have to come in and win that game, right? Because the Rams are battling for the bye in the West.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the marquee game, the game that will be talked about for the next at least 24 to 48 hours because of a couple of plays in the game, a couple of injuries in the game. I think we knew 5 weeks ago that this was going to be the game of the NFL season so far. And it lived up to the hype. I don't watch a lot of NFL. I don't watch a lot of NFL on purpose. I watched every snap of this game. I sat in my leather chair and watched every snap of the Patriots Steelers game. I must admit, probably two of the teams I dislike the most in the NFL. And I'll be the first one to say it. Probably because both teams are good. They win a lot. They have the most annoying fan bases in the world. The Cowboys fan bases I can deal with these days because they haven't won anything recently.
Hold on a second. I'm going to mute my mic while you do this segment. Okay.
Sean, by the way, quit bragging with the leather chair.
yeah, really. Show
because you don't want to agree with me? Is that what you're saying, Bill? You don't want to agree with me?
No, I just got to be really quiet because,
strong feelings about Pittsburgh.
I might have said some things on my text, our group text.
Nah, you know what?
I regret saying.
We're sports fans. That's what happens. Look, I love Mike Tomlin. I think he's an amazing coach. I love his style. I love his just the way he stands on the sidelines. He's a badass.
I concur.
I respect Belichick.
Concur.
I can't argue that Tom Brady is the GOAT. I mean, he is just a beast. Gronkowski.
We still agree. So
Gronkowski.
Where's the issue? Where's the issue? If we still agree,
there's no issue. There's no issue. Gronkowski in that fourth quarter was absolutely an animal. I mean, he was. Anytime they match him up, and let me just maybe throw this in, and I think Todd, you'll agree with me on this. Tony Romo is the greatest analyst, and to think that Phil Simms was in the booth last year. Every time Gronk would line up wide, you know, Romo would say he's going to run a slanter out. I mean, he knew it was going to go to him. He's like, that's what I would do every play. You know, if Dez Bryant goes out against a cornerback, I'm throwing it to him. He's got a 5-inch, you know, difference. Did you guys happen to – Todd, I know you were at a restaurant, so you were watching restaurant TV, which is a little difficult. You can't hear the announcers. You're not sure if a replay is a live play. You know, let's start with you, Bill, because you were watching it live, and then we'll get Todd's insights. What just thoughts on the game? It was a fabulous game that the Patriots come back and win 27-24 on an interception on the second to last play of the game in the end zone, where the play before, the Steelers scored a touchdown that was ruled a touchdown that was reviewed and not a touchdown. So, Bill, your thoughts?
I think for all the Patriot haters, the conspiracy theorists will be out in droves, right? So talking about how the NFL wanted Kraft to win, or you know, the calls went against the Steelers, but just a fantastic finish.
All three of us were watching, and you know, Jesse James catches it on the 1 yard line,
yep.
Falls down, knee hits the ground, but untouched, he puts the ball over the line,
yeah.
And we're all watching and texting each other, going like, why are they taking so long? This is ridiculous, right?
And I had the sound off, right? Because I had this on the small TV at this point because something had started at 7. Cindy wanted to watch. And so I'm just watching the small TV with no sound going, why are they re-showing this over and over and over? But I think then it all dawned on us, right?
Right.
You have, when you're falling to the ground with a catch, you have to show control all the way through the catch.
Yeah, and the ball clearly spins. I mean, clearly. The laces move 4 inches. I mean,
well,
you know.
It wasn't in his hands. When he was done, it was kind of like he was backhanding it on one hand, and it definitely wasn't in his control.
Yeah.
So it was a proper call. But, boy, I know what it's like to be a rabid fan of a team, and you've got everyone in Heinz Field. Walking out of that stadium in one of the biggest funks you'll ever feel, because it happened again. They can't beat the Patriots. They're just snake bit. And I like that.
And Todd, what was your thoughts? Because you were watching in what you said to us was kind of a Steelers bar, right?
Yeah, Sean, I was at Taco Mac. I'm sure you've been there in Atlanta before. So the Steelers were more vocal. There are a ton of Patriots fans. And I think it dawned on me on the ride home, I think maybe the Patriots fans that live here in Atlanta, they're still a little, I don't know if respect or...
Cocky?
No, totally opposite. Totally opposite. I think they're kind of walking on eggshells knowing that they live in Atlanta, and every Atlanta Falcon fan just feels just their guts torn out after the Super Bowl.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. The Patriots fans are doing this. The Steelers fans are going, woo, woo, high five, it's going crazy. And my son said, God, why are there so many football fans? I'm like, well, we live in Atlanta, right? If this was the Bills versus the Jets, there would have been equal number of Bills and Jets jerseys, right? It's just Atlanta. Everyone from all around the country moves to Atlanta. Sure. So that wasn't the surprising part. To me, the first surprising part was on the 2-point conversion. How do you let Gronk?
Oh my God! Play 1-on-1.
1-on-1. I mean, everyone and the uncle.
No safety help. Yeah.
I would rather double and have them beat me somewhere else and say, hey, at least we didn't let Gronk beat us. So again, we had no sound. That happens, Bill. If you want to jump in.
Late on that. A safety was moving over, but way too late. Brady just said, give me the ball right now.
And
this is guaranteed.
And Gronk, if you watch the replay, Gronk just kind of throws the corner out of the way. And he ends up being open by about 6 yards. I mean, it was not even. Yeah.
So my first thought is when Brady got the ball at 2 minutes left, I'm like, too much time. Gronk was there 1-on-1. I said, that's ridiculous. Double up on him, have him beat you somewhere else. And then I said, hey, 56 seconds is too much time for Roethlisberger, right? The first mistake was running back the kickoff, right? He wasted 6-7 seconds to get to the 21-yard line. I mean, anytime you receive the ball in the end zone and you wait about 2 seconds and then decide to go, it's just miserable. So then they hit the miracle, get down to the 10-yard line. I don't know how to put this other than I think it's the worst rule in sports. I totally get – I'm not going to argue with anyone that they're following the rule. To me, it just makes no sense. I hate the argument of what happened to Dez Bryant a couple years ago. hey, it was wrong back then. It's wrong now, right? So that's where I go. That's where I go with that. I just absolutely hate and roll. And then third down, I totally get what Roethlisberger was doing. You're going up. You're doing the fake spike. Try to hit fake spike. Try to hit the guy he's covered. And then he scrambles in the pocket. I think he just got greedy. I think the smart play is throw that in the seventh stand, kick it, let's go to overtime. You're at home. I guess overtime tends to favor the home team. I get Roethlisberger was trying to make a play, but as it was unfolding and after it happened, I was just like, wow.
Yeah, Todd, I think Roethlisberger's done that fake spike three times, and I think all three times it's worked for touchdowns. And so I just think he, you know, when he stepped into the pocket there and had to force that, once again, Romo said, why would you have ever, you go to the fade, there's no way you're going to get intercepted on the fade, you know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, you don't think a Belichick team was prepared for that? There's absolutely no way. He flat out, they had worked that out somewhere in practice and said, look, we get in this situation, if it's late in the game, this is kind of happening.
Yeah, he's not going to down it, yeah.
Absolutely, well, yeah.
One of the best things I ever heard is, and it boggled my mind until I got older, but as a kid I heard, sometimes the best play is to punt. And that was totally against all my inner beings and thoughts. Like, how can that be a good play to give up the ball? And with Roethlisberger, I think the best play would have been for him to just chuck it and survive over time, right?
Yeah, you know, Jim Tressel famously at Ohio State, you know, used to say, and the fans made fun of him all the time, but he said the most important play in football is the punt. And then when you see a field, you know, when you see him flip the field, so to speak, and then, you know, stop him or intercept and go in to score, it held true for a lot of the years Tressel was here.
And Billy, go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
I'll say, make sure you Google the high school team that never punts. There's a coach out there in the high school level, which is different. I get it.
He goes for it every time?
Every single time. Never punts. And the team does very well. Four downs to get 10 yards every single time. It's a whole different way to play, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Kind of like going for two every time, right? It's a similar philosophy. Go for two every time.
Yeah. Changes your calls on second and third up for sure if you know you're going to go for fourth, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Bill, you mentioned some earlier. Both teams are 11-3. Both are leading their division. Both have clinched a playoff spot, obviously, maybe even their division. But I think there was more, as you say, there was more to this game. This was a get the monkey off my back game for Pittsburgh.
And it didn't happen.
Mike Tomlin's a good coach, and by tomorrow morning, it's you know, they're going to move on and say, hey, we're 11-3. We may meet up with them again, but that could affect home field advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to play Gillette if they meet up.
Let me just add this in, though, guys. Second quarter, Antonio Brown, MVP candidate, goes down it looked like his foot got locked between two defenders going opposite directions, almost like he was kind of in a vice. They're saying it's a low leg contusion, but that could be a broken bone inside there. They actually brought him to the hospital. Antonio Brown out for the game, and early reports are out for the rest out next week. That's a big loss. Now Martavius Bryant and Schuster Smith, Jesse James, obviously Le'Veon Bell, those guys played really strong today, but that could be a really big loss for the Steelers, especially if they have to play in New England.
Yeah.
And I believe I heard either on Twitter or maybe Romo said it, the kind of the very poor decision interception that Brady threw, his first interception ever against the Steelers. Is that possible?
First ever in 12 years.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Now they're not 331 pass attempts or something.
Yeah, like they're not division. They're not division opponents, so they don't
never
play.
Have this, been.
You know, they don't play. They obviously only play, you know, every fourth year twice. You know,
plus playoffs.
But that's amazing. His first interception in 12 years.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like that when they say Tiger Woods hasn't three putted in 400 holes, it's going to happen. Or this person hasn't given up a home run after the eighth inning. You know, But all right, boys. NFL, great week this week. I expect two good weeks of football in the next 2 weeks. Fun time of the year. Let's get to the 2018 Stare Down Bowl Pool.
Who's our leader in the clubhouse right now, Sean?
We don't care about that. Let's just move forward with the picks. Look at the time. We're running out of time.
Yes. I believe.
Is there an award show on at 9, Bill?
He wants to see the end of a Christmas Story musical. Yes. All right. So now Cody was with us. Cody Butler was with us last week. He was picking for the fans. I will try and get his picks off the air. He's not able to join us tonight. So let's just go. And we're just going to go Bill, Todd, Sean on each game. We'll roll through these for posterity's sake on the recording. And then our listeners can listen in and see who we picked and see how they match up. Let's go this Tuesday, Boca Raton Bowl.
Okay.
Home game, Florida Atlantic plays Akron. Bill, who you got?
Oh, Florida Atlantic, of course. I'm going to stay home team. That's what they're
going
to kill
them. Todd, I'm going to guess you're going with Lane Kiffin and the FAU boys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big recruiting guy in these bowl games. It's in their backyard. But watch Akron. They're gonna play a lot closer than the spread. It's going to be closer, but FAU for sure.
Yep, I'm going to FAU as well. The Wednesday night, we go to the Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas. I bet you guys didn't know that. I thought it was San Francisco. It's actually Frisco, Texas. We got SMU versus Louisiana Tech. Bill, who you got?
SMU.
This is a total hunch, Sean, but Louisiana Tech, the Raging Cake. Total hunch.
Okay. And I'm going to go with Louisiana Tech already. I already have my games all picked. So,
me too.
Unless I change on the fly. let's go Thursday, outside Bill's window. St. Petersburg Bowl. We have the Florida International team coached by, I believe, who's the guy who used to coach North Miami and then coach North Carolina?
Butch Davis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Versus the Temple Owls. Bill, who do you got? Now, why don't you give the listeners a little background? What's happening outside your condo complex?
So I'm looking down there right now. Okay, I'm looking out my balcony window. The Temple Owl football players are not in the pool tonight, but last night.
Not yet.
A raucous Marco Polo match broke out with about 20 of the Temple football players. I tweeted it out. Got a couple of retweets from some of the people hanging out in Philly. But it was 39 degrees up there, and it was about 68 degrees when they jumped in the pool. So I'm sure they're loving the weather down here. And they brought them down nice and early so they can have a great time. But having said all of that, I'm going to take FIU. That game.
All right, FIU. Todd, who you got?
Despite Temple being 7-point favorites, it's in Tampa. FIU needs to play well, and you don't give a Butch Davis team 3 weeks to prepare. That's all I got to say, Sean. FIU.
All right.
And by the way, it's not in Tampa. It's in St. Petersburg. Okay.
Oh, I apologize.
All right.
Does that change your pick?
No.
Okay, I am going with the Owls because when I think St. Petersburg, I think Hooters. When I think Hooters, I think Owls. Owls, Tampa.
If he said St. Petersburg, Russia, I may change my pick. But
the original Hooters is in Clearwater, not St. Pete. Come on.
I understand, but close right. enough, right?
All right, yeah.
All right. Let's go next Popeyes time. Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. We have UAB back from their dead after 2 years of no teams versus the Ohio Bobcats from Athens, Ohio, led by Frank Solich. Bill, who you got?
The Ohio.
Sean, you stole my thunder. Frank Solich, the coach. I got to go with the Ohio University.
Okay, and I'm going with Ohio. So it's a three-peat for Ohio, with all of us here. Let's go out to get some French fries. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. We have Central Michigan versus Wyoming. Josh,
would that be the Chippewas?
That would be the Chippewas. It is.
Yeah, interesting.
Versus the Cowboys. Yes,
I'll take the Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Idaho. I'm going to go with the geographical. If that's even a word. Preference Wyoming, Sean.
Okay, and I'm reading Lee Child's new book, which takes place in Wyoming. So I'm going to go with Wyoming because of the book I'm reading.
Nice.
let's go with the Birmingham Bowl, which takes place, coincidentally, in Birmingham, and that's Birmingham, Alabama, not Birmingham, England. Texas Tech Red Raiders versus the USF Bulls.
Ooh, there's going to be some offense here, huh? This is going to be fun.
This is going to be a shootout right here.
Yeah. Quentin Flowers for the win. I got to stick with it. Look, USF is – their St. Pete campus is 4 blocks from here. I got to go with USF.
Okay.
The over-under is 68, Sean, so they're expecting some big scoring. USF's only favored by 2.5. I think Texas Tech, great offense, horrible defense. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's what I'm feeling. So, the Bulls in a runaway.
All right, I pick USF as well. Now, guys, that is a 11 o'clock kick in Birmingham. So we'll see if the offenses or the defenses get out earlier. Is there a little anxiety, or is it just a shootout from the beginning in that game? Let's go up to Mobile, Alabama, Dollar General Bowl, Toledo, the Rockets versus Appalachian State, who I saw play basketball last night in Columbus against Ohio State. Let's go. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a game. Let's go to the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, Army versus San Diego State in Fort Worth. Bill?
Well, I'm going to take San Diego State. I mean, they have a great team this year. 10 wins, right? And they're going to get 11.
So. Okay. Todd?
Sean, in an upset, I'm going with the West Pointers. I got Army representing in the Armed Forces Bowl.
And I'm proud to be an American. All right. I'm going to go with San Diego State. I think their running back is going to be too much. I think the clock's going to work quickly with Army just running the ball. But now we go to Toledo, Appalachian State. Bill, you like the Rockets? Or do you like the team from Boone, North Carolina?
I'll take the Toledo Rockets.
Okay. Todd?
I like the team from Boone, North Carolina, but I'm picking Toledo to easily win that game.
All right. I'm going with the boys from Glass City. I think the MAC is going to come on strong in the bowl season this year after Marshall's big win. Doc Holliday, coach of Marshall, the winningest, or currently the streak of most wins of any bowl game right now, 6 years in a row.
Six
for Marshall.
In a row, yeah.
Six bowl games. The Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. I skipped a line. Hawaii Bowl.
Where's Hawaii Bowl?
In Honolulu.
Okay, good.
that's in Hawaii. Fresno State versus Houston. Bill?
Well, after Fresno State beat San Diego State this year, really big in the Mountain West. I'm going to go Fresno State.
Okay. Who you got, Todd?
God, Fresno State, for whatever reason, seems to have American Samoan players on their team. It's being played in Hawaii. It feels like a home game. I'm going Fresno State.
Good call.
Thank you.
That's a great pick. Great pick. I'm going to go Fresno as well.
Okay.
Fresno as well. Now, in the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, and I could go for some Zaxby's crispers right now. We have West Virginia, and I'm not sure if Will Greer is going to play or not after his broken finger in the last game. Plays Utah and Kirk Willingham in Dallas, 1:30 on the day after Christmas. Bill, who do you got?
That's a tough one. I'm going to go with Utah.
Bill, you made the correct decision. Utah.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Kirk Willingham's got to get those boys ready.
Kirk Willingham, 9-1 in bowl games. I'm going with Utah.
All right.
Yes.
Smart.
Quick Lane Bowl. Northern Illinois versus Duke. This is up in the beautiful city of Detroit. Bill, who you got? Northern Illinois or Duke?
Duke.
Oh, Duke. David Cutcliffe. Yeah. All right. Todd, who you got?
Yeah, old David Cutcliffe. I think he's going to get the boys ready and I think, they beat Northern Illinois.
A lot of people saying ACC is going to come on strong this bowl season. I'm going to go with Northern Illinois. I think the Huskies are going to do it in that game in Detroit. I think the fans of Duke go to visit the Ford plant and don't show up that day. Cactus Bowl. Cactus Bowl in Phoenix, Bill. Kansas State versus UCLA. You got a old guard coach of Kansas State, Bill Schneider, bringing his guys out to play a coachless, soon-to-be Chip Kelly UCLA team. The question is, do they play for their guy who's probably going to maybe retire at the end of the season, or do they show their new coach what they got so they get a spot on the team next year? Who do you like, Bill, the Wildcats or the Bruins?
K-State big.
K-State big. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll call that.
Okay. Todd.
Wow, Bill. You actually made me reconsider. No. It's cold in K-State. It's going to be in Phoenix. UCLA is used to that weather. I think K-State's just going to be glad to be there. I have UCLA with the minor upset.
You know it's going to be like 68 degrees or 70. It's not going to be 110 in December.
No, but I'm saying K-State's going to be 30. They're just going to happen to be in warm weather.
Okay, I guess I follow that. Never mind.
So Todd, you're going UCLA, right?
Yep. Yeah, by the way, I'm not saying my logic is sound. I'm just saying.
Okay, all right.
Yes. I am going to UCLA. I think Josh Rosen has a big game and sets himself up for the conversation that's going to follow about 2 days later with Sam Darnold. This is a big statement moment for Josh Rosen. I say UCLA wins. Independence Bowl, Shreveport, Louisiana. Sorry. Southern Miss versus Florida State, who had to play a 12th game at the end of the season on a game that was canceled because of the hurricane to get into their bowl game. Todd, who do you like, Southern Miss Golden Eagles or the Florida State Seminoles? I'm sorry, Bill, who do you like?
I'm going to go with FSU.
Okay. Todd?
F-L-O-R-I-D-A-S-T-A-T-E.
Sucks.
Did they spell that out?
That's a cheer.
And Gators always say sucks after. That's why Sean said sucks.
Awesome.
That's how mature we are.
Exactly. All right, we got the Pinstripe Bowl, a game played in Yankee Stadium.
Who do you pick, Sean? Who do you pick?
In what, the Pinstripe Bowl?
No, Florida State.
Florida State, yeah. I just think they have too good of players. I don't know that Jalen what's-his-name's going to play, but I like them. Derwin, whatever his name is. Pinstripe Bowl, you got Boston College, led by Steve Adazio, Todd. Steve Adazio.
Against, you're recording, right?
Against Iowa's Iowa's team from Iowa City. That's a 5:15 kick on December 27th. Bill, who do you like? You like the Golden Eagle or the Golden Eagles or the Iowa Hawkeyes?
I'm going to take Stephanie Sersland's Hawkeyes just for Steph.
Ooh, okay. She'll appreciate that. Todd, who you got?
Sean, the game's being played in the Boogie Down Bronx, and Mike, I'm going with Boston College. I think I was going to be sightseeing a little too much.
Yeah, I think BC runs all over Iowa in this game. I like BC.
You know Tom Brady's not the quarterback just because it's in Boston, right?
Right.
I just throw that out there. Okay, good.
Matt Ryan has an extra year of eligibility, I think.
All right. The classic Foster's Farms Bowl Santa Clara. That's Purdue versus Bill's home state of Arizona, but not his school. So it's Purdue versus Arizona. You got Jeff Brohm versus Rich Rodriguez. Should be an offensive game. Todd, what's the over-under on this game?
65, Sean. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Arizona's quarterback is good. I'm going to quietly say the Wildcats.
Okay. Arizona, Todd, who do you like?
Rich Rod and the Arizona Wildcats.
All right, I'm going to go with Purdue. I think Jeff Brohm and Purdue is excited to be back in a bowl game for the first time in many, many years. That big drum, the big drum of Purdue and the big-headed Boilermaker is going to carry home the Foster Farms Bowl. Advocare V100 Texas Bowl. That game's played in Texas, guys. It's played in Houston. Interesting this year, the Texas Bowl is going to be back in Texas. We have Texas versus Missouri. Now, Texas not used to playing in Houston, a couple hours away from Austin. Missouri on a 7-game winning streak, I believe, and they've averaged, I think, 41 points in those 7 games. Who do you like, Bill?
I'm going to take Missouri in this game. I know that's kind of going against what I think, but I think Missouri.
All right, Todd.
Sean, you're my thunder snatcher, what I call you. although traditionally, I would think Texas home state, but God, no one's playing. I shouldn't say no one. Missouri's playing very good football the last 6-7 weeks. So I would have them continue the momentum and beat Texas.
Yeah, Mizzou, one of my few SEC teams I'm picking actually to win. I have them winning as well. I think it's going to be a big game for Mizzou to really set themselves up for next year. Mizzou knows with a couple new coaches coming in the East, with Tennessee and Florida getting new coaches, that they need to make a statement. I like Mizzou. Let's go to the Military Bowl. God bless the military. Virginia versus Navy in Navy's hometown, Annapolis, Maryland. Bill, who do you like there?
How do you pick against Navy in this game? You know, especially since they're not going to throw it, right? I'll go with Navy.
Did you see the stat that was I tweeted out? First time ever since 74, 75, that the Army-Navy game had no passes thrown in the first quarter, not a single pass. In any college game in like 40-some years, there wasn't a single pass thrown in that game. In the first quarter. Todd, who do you like? You like Virginia or Navy?
Navy, Sean.
All right, that's a three-peat then. I like Navy as well. in Orlando, beautiful Orlando. Oklahoma State versus Virginia Tech. This is our first matchup of both ranked teams. It takes us till December 28th to get a rank up of two match ranked teams. Oklahoma State with the mullet versus Virginia Tech.
I'm a man. What do you think?
Todd, who do you like? I'm sorry, Bill, who do you like?
I'm going to go with Okie State.
Oak State, Todd?
This is a tough one for me, Sean. Tough one.
This is.
I may rue this decision, but I'm going Virginia Tech.
Tech, the Hokies. And I'm going to go with the other OSU, Oklahoma State. Another game with ranked opponents. Stanford versus TCU in the Valero Alamo Bowl. Always a fun one. 9 o'clock kickoff. A fun one to watch on December 28th. Bill, who do you like? You like the Cardinal? Or do you like the Horned Frogs? Horned Frogs are playing literally 2 hours from the campus.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I love to, and Stanford played well this year, but I'm going with TCU.
All right, go Bill with TCU. Todd,
since we are the stare down and the RE stands for real estate, I'm going location, location, location. I'm going TCU.
Whoa. I thought you meant location where I might want to live, Palo Alto versus Fort Worth.
I for San Antonio friends.
I got the boys from the farm. I'm going to go Stanford. I think Bryce Love shows that he was not a bad pick as the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy. A very smart quarterback. That should be a fun game. You got a good offense versus a very good defense. That'll be one that's on my radar to watch. Bill, one close to your heart, the San Diego Credit Union Holiday Bowl, always a shootout. Although with Michigan State and Washington State, not sure we're going to see a shootout. Michigan State, a very good defensive team. Who do you like in that game? 9 o'clock kick on the 28th. Once again, that'll be a head-to-head with the Valero Alamo Bowl. Get your remote controls ready. Do you like the Sparty or do you like Washington State?
The Cougars.
I'll go with Sparty in that game.
All right.
They're going to travel. They're going to want to get out of the cold. There'll be a ton of fans there. It'll be awesome. Love the Holiday Bowl, by the way. Probably been to 15 of them in my life when I lived out there. But all those BYU games were awesome. They always came in the last play. So Ty Detmer played in one of them. He didn't play. That wasn't where he won his national championship. I think he was like in Hawaii playing Michigan or something. But
Barry Sanders, I think, ran for like 270 or something.
Some
in that game.
Crazy number. It was great.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. Todd, who like? Yeah. You like Sparty or do you like the Cougars?
Sean, I like location recruiting. I also like head coaches. Although I respect Mike Leach, I think Mike D'Antonio with 4 weeks is going to get his team prepared to win this game in San Diego.
All right, good. And let's go to the Belk.
Who do you pick?
Oh, I'm at Washington State. I'm going to go with Washington State. Oh. I think Nick Falk, their quarterback, is going to have a big game. Even though the air raid defense for Michigan State is solid, Washington State kind of dropped a couple of their big games this year. Let's see how they do in the bowl game. Hopefully a shootout favors Falk at the QB slot. Belk Bowl. You got Wake Forest driving down the street from Winston-Salem down to Charlotte versus Texas A&M. A new coach, Jimbo Fisher, will not be on the sidelines coaching them, but will be probably somewhere in the stadium watching his boys. Big game for the SEC to start off the holiday weekend. This is on a Friday, 1 o'clock afternoon, heading into the holiday weekend. Bill, who do you like? Do you like Wake Forest, Demon Deacons, or Texas A&M?
I'm going to go against the SEC on this game. I'm going to say that, once again, we'll go with the location theme from Todd, but Wake Forest is going to pull this one out.
Okay, Todd.
Bill, I would tend to agree with you, but I'm going to go against my normal rational thinking. I think Texas A&M has new life with Jimbo on board, even though he won't be on the sideline. I think it's going to be a culture shift, and those guys are going to be playing hard for Jimbo, even though he won't be on the sideline.
I'm going Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest outscores Texas A&M. I think this is an exciting game. I think this is a game that's probably in the 30s, maybe even low 40s. I like Wake Forest in that game.
64.5 over under, Sean.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a high point game. El Paso is the home of this Hyundai Sun Bowl, one of the prettiest stadiums you'll watch during all the bowl games, where the people sit up in the mountains and look down into the stadium from around it. That features Arizona State, Bill, versus NC State.
A Todd Grahamless Arizona State, and with Herm Edwards, you've heard what's happened out there, right?
Yes.
Have you followed this a little bit?
Yeah.
So the OC and the DC have all both bailed. They both got taken jobs someplace else.
Wow.
Herm was supposed to come in and be the just like the glue that held everything together while they were kind of grooming Napier to take over the job. Well, he just took a Louisiana job. So ASU's a mess. So having said that, I'm going to go with NC State in that game.
Okay.
Did you guys talk about last week, Herm Edwards' press conference?
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not the press conference. I shared with Bill I shared with you, Todd, on Twitter. You maybe haven't gotten to it. His going away at ESPN when they said goodbye.
Oh, I saw that. That was fantastic.
Very
that
cool.
That was good. Yeah,
very cool.
But real quick, and I don't want to, I know we're running long, but in the press conference, some guy goes, "Hey, this is Bill Risser from the Sun Devil Tribune or whatever." And Herm Edwards literally goes, "Devil, devil, I'm a Catholic man. I'm a Catholic man. I was raised Catholic." And the text was, "Does he know the nickname of the school?" Dude, Google it and find it because it's really
That's hilarious.
It's really strange. It's really strange.
It is. Yeah.
Again, I usually location has a lot to do with it. I think it's going to be tough for NC State to travel west. That said, I agree with Bill. Arizona State's just kind of a hot mess right now. So I got to go with the boys from Raleigh, North Carolina.
This is where the tournament swings. I go with ASU.
Wow.
All of a sudden, Sean takes the lead probably on that night. we'll see.
Would be the right thing to say.
There you go. All right. The Mortgage Music City Bowl.
Did you mean, Sean, that he takes the lead between the battle for second between you and
possibly. Oh, possibly.
Just checking.
Okay, possibly. Good. All right. We have Northwestern versus Kentucky. We have Wildcats versus Wildcats.
I'll take the Wildcats.
All right. You like the Smart Wildcats or the Southern Wildcats?
I like the Smart Wildcats in this game.
Okay, we're going to Northwestern. We'll tip the hat to Mike Greenberg and Mike Wilbon. Bill or Todd, who you got? Northwestern or Kentucky?
Although they're a 7-point underdog, I think Kentucky has been teetering all year on being a good team, and I think a month preparation, I'll give Coach Stoops the edge and go with Kentucky.
I agree. I think Kentucky outscores Northwestern. I think it's probably a little higher shootout because I just don't think Kentucky's defense can stop people, but I think their offense is solid under their quarterback. Let's go with that game. Nova.
Luke Donald's going to be laughing at you after that game.
Hey, Sean, bet the over. It's only 51.
Okay.
The over.
I do like – I'm going to put over on the side here of our bull picks. Over. Circle it. Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This game, Bill, is in Arizona. New Mexico State versus Utah State.
Wow.
Yeah, not a marquee game. This
no,
one's on
this
in the
late.
Background. This game's on in the background of most holiday parties. It's a 5:30 in the afternoon game where people are starting to get home from and really start pounding into the alcohol for the holiday weekend. It's a Friday.
And this one is on CBS Sports Network. So.
Yes. So it's one of those ones where people are Googling, or Alexa, what is CBS Sports Network, right?
What so, channel?
Bill, who you got?
I'll go with Utah State. I don't really care.
Okay. Todd?
I agree. I care, but I agree. Utah State.
I got USU, because anytime you can say USU, that's kind of cool. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl, big game. Two teams that can maybe argue that they should have been in the championship game. You've got Ohio State and USC. Bill?
Yes, yeah,
traditional. This is as traditional of a game as you can get, but it's being played
Should this be in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, that's going to be played in Jerry World on December 30th. It's the 8:30 classic. It's the only game in its time slot. National audience. You got Sam Darnold going up against a very good defensive team for Ohio State. You got JT Barrett playing his last game in the Buckeye uniform. A couple other Buckeyes that haven't announced if they're going to play or not. But Nick Bosa will be in the game because he's a true sophomore. Who do you like? You like a very, a team that's won, I think, 7 in a row now with six in a row with USC? Or do you like the Buckeyes?
Oh, man. I mean, I really like Ohio State a lot in this game, but I just feel Darnold's going to have his coming out game. You think Rosen's going to have, which he isn't. And so I'm going to go with USC in this. Against a great defense, he'll perform and secure his top 10 slot.
Okay. Todd, what's the over-under on this game? Got me in the 50s.
64 and a half.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a shootout too, yeah.
Yeah. So, Bill, I was the reason I was leaning USC was that quarterback. However, Urban Meyer, my personal feelings aside, I think he finds a way to win the game. Pains me to say I'm going with the Ohio State University.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ohio State as well. I think it's a close game. I think it's a shootout. I think this is like a 34-31 type game. And I actually think Ohio State's defense wins it at the end of the game, stopping Sam Darnold on the last drive of the game with an interception. So we'll see what that happens. Tax Slayer Bowl, also known as the Gator Bowl.
Jacksonville.
Louisville versus the Cowbells of Mississippi State. Bill, who do you like? You like Petrino and the boys from Louisville, or do you like the coachless Mississippi State team?
They got a coach.
They got a coach. They got a coach from Penn State, but I don't know. He's coaching the game.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Louisville Cardinals in this all the way.
All right.
Yeah.
I think Mississippi State keeps it close, but Louisville wins the game.
Yeah, I think Louisville wins big. Without Nick Fitzgerald, I think it's going to be a tough matchup for Mississippi State. AutoZone Liberty Bowl. State, kind of the darlings of the Big 12, versus Memphis, playing pretty much a home game, but they're playing in the Liberty Bowl. So where do you like this one, Bill?
I like Memphis a lot. They played super tough against USF. Really good team. I Memphis handily beats Iowa State.
Todd?
Bill, couldn't agree with you more. Memphis, and the over-under of that is 66.
Yeah, I like Memphis in that game. I think Memphis shows that their only two losses this year to UCF, or two of their three losses this year, were not a fluke. I think Memphis wins, and I think they win big to put a little – two losses?
Yep.
They only had two, and they lost both to UCF.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and they scored how many in both those losses? No, but how many did they score in both those losses? I think this is a big scoring game.
Yeah, much. I don't know the numbers. Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
All right, the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, Bill. Another one of your area of games that you've probably been to before. Glendale, beautiful place to play. Penn State and Saquon Barkley goes up against Chris Peterson's Washington Huskies, looking for some respect, looking for a little love. Who do you like, Penn State or Washington?
I'm going to take the Huskies in this game, so I'm going to let my Pac-12 roots kind of say that they're going to pull off, I guess you'd call it the upset, right? Is Penn State favored in this game? I don't have
2 points. 2 points.
Yeah,
favorite.
Yeah. It's Huskies.
Okay. Todd?
John, this may be the biggest coin flip of any bowl game out there. Both coaches, James Franklin, Chris Peterson, it's a wash. Records a wash where they finished in their conference a wash. So I got to go with it being in Arizona. I'm going to go with Washington.
Okay. I'm going to go with Penn State. I think Saquon Barkley has a big game. James Franklin, good coach. I agree with you, Todd. Man, that you laid it out pretty nicely there. I was looking at some of the ESPN picks where they did the confidence picks, and this was one of the games where a lot of the people were like 2-3-2. You know, yeah, it was a tough game to spread. Capital One Orange Bowl, a very close to the vest Wisconsin team that's coming off their only loss of the season after being, you know, questioned on their schedule against a Miami team basically playing at home in the stadium they played in all season, the Miami Hurricanes, and their turnover chain. Can they get any turnovers against a team that is as sound as you'll see in the NCAA? Bill, who do you like, Wisconsin or Miami?
Wow.
Doesn't get easier, does it, Bill?
No, everything is would point to Miami. It just seems like, but I going out here on my limb to put away the pool, is what I'm going to call it, and take Wisconsin, because at this point, hopefully you won't be able to catch me. I can lose the rest of the games. Wisconsin.
Todd, who you got? You like the Canes or you like the Badgers?
Bill, are you looking at my notes?
So
I, again, for the second time in the last three, four picks, I couldn't agree with you 100% more. Every thought in my head says Miami, it's a home game. They're a good squad. Mark Richt's a good coach, this, that, and the other. But I think Miami has losses against very good teams, and they've been beat pretty handily. And I think Wisconsin's a very good team. And although it's a home game for Miami, I've got to go with Wisconsin.
I got the Badgers in this game. I like Wisconsin bringing a lot of people down to the warmth of Miami in the holidays.
Yep.
If you think about Wisconsin's game plan, they don't throw the ball enough to force a lot of turnovers. And Jonathan Taylor might make a statement in this game to set himself up as the Heisman favorite for next year and run for a lot of yards in this game. I like him to maybe go for 150 against Miami. So let me just set that aside. I'm going to say 150 yards.
I'll back you up on those Badger fans traveling, because whenever they were playing in Arizona, it was overrun with red.
Green Bay fans travel also.
Yeah. Outback Bowl gets kind of a dud in my eyes. You got Michigan and South Carolina. Usually that game has some.
I hope Riley's not listening. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, she's not. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah. Who do you like? That's an early kickoff in Tampa, across the bridge from you, Bill. You got Michigan with a struggling to find a quarterback, although the news last week they got Shea Patterson transferring from Ole Miss to Ann Arbor. I think that's a huge pickup for Jim Harbaugh. Doesn't mean anything because they've had good quarterbacks, at least on paper, before. But I think Shea Patterson, a very, very good sign by the Wolverines. He could play immediately next year. I think you'll see Shea Patterson under center in their first game next year. Who do you like? Do you like Big Blue, or do you like the Gamecocks?
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Okay. Todd?
This is a really tough one for me. It's another coin flipper. I think South Carolina plays them tough. I think they're going to be well prepared for some crazy reason. I'm thinking Michigan's going to end up finding a way to win. But I think it's going to be a very, really competitive game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a competitive game too. I like UM on defense alone. I just think that they will be a stronger team and run the ball. I just don't think – I think the SEC in the bowl season is going to show that they weren't that great of a conference this year. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl could be one of the games that is asterisked on my list. I just want to see this game because you got some cool stories. You got the little guy, UCF. You got Scott Frost being allowed to come back and coach. You got a team going for an undefeated season against a 5 years ago national champion, Auburn Tigers, in Atlanta. It's an early kick. I wish this game was more of a primetime game, but I understand why it's an early kick. But who do you like? Do you like the UCF Golden Knights, or do you like Auburn Tigers beating in Atlanta?
Boy, so the little guy getting in, right, the slot for the what do you call the group outside the group of five, right? I want to take UCF really bad, but I'm going to take Auburn.
Okay.
I just don't think they can get it done.
Okay. And it's one of those games where if Auburn wins big, you're like, I told you. Right? And then if UCF wins, you're like, I should have picked them because they had a magical season, right?
Yeah.
Todd, who do you like?
Tough one.
I will tell you, I'm picking UCF, so if that changes anything.
Now we're skipping. Okay, so Bill, I'd like to call for a prop jerk because I think he's cheating. I know. So, again, I agree with Bill.
Undue influence. Okay.
I want to pick UCF. I live 4, 5, 10 miles from their campus. 16 years ago now. I think Auburn. I don't even think this is close. I think UCF, for lack of a better term, they shot their wad. They're done. This is more of a celebration bowl than a go win it bowl. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think Auburn wins big.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Western Michigan last year against Wisconsin. Yep. They get down the Cotton Bowl. I think they scored their first touchdown of the game, and then they got beat 56-7 or something like that. So could be that. I'm going to go to UCF. I think Scott Frost writes the story that deserves the end that they want. We've seen lots of teams do it. We've seen Hawaii do it. We've seen Boise State do it. We've seen that small school do it. But we've also seen that smaller school like Cincinnati get just absolutely trounced by Florida.
Yeah.
I'm going to go UCF. Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, Notre Dame versus LSU, two teams that had a lot of hype all season, but just did not play to the level that people expected. Bill, who do you like, Notre Dame or LSU?
I'll go with LSU in this game. I think, I think Kelly's days are numbered at Notre Dame. And yeah, I'm going to go with LSU.
Okay.
Bill is correct again. these are two 9-3 teams. LSU's gone through the SEC gauntlet, especially in the West, right? So I think Notre Dame beat up on the guys they should have, and they struggled against the better teams.
Yeah.
I go LSU.
I go Notre Dame. Once again, I go with my SEC was down this year. Yeah, I'm going to – I think Notre Dame wins it. Once again, I think there's always that kernel of people will then in South Bend be able to say, see, we're going to win the game at the beginning of the year. This is our new year. They always do that. They get a little hype. All right, now, boys, the two big ones.
Real quick, Sean.
Yes.
When I was looking, I clicked on the – it says LSU third in the SEC West, Notre Dame first, Independence FBS.
That's awesome.
That was pretty funny. Go ahead.
All right. The big ones, the ones that if – And really, if you look at the slate of games, guys, there's a bunch of just sucky-ass games. There's a bunch of games I don't give two shits about, but I will watch because I'm a sports fan. The two big ones, Monday in the Rose Bowl, perhaps the coolest setting in all of college football. Mm-hmm. Even on TV, when you see it, when you see that view from above, when you see the big trees behind the stadium, when you see the stands perfectly lined with fans –
and you see the cars parked on the golf course. That's
yes.
Right next to,
yeah. Yeah. Just
I've been there. I've tailgated on that golf course.
It's everything great about that. Rose Bowl, you got Georgia versus Oklahoma. You got one of the best offensive teams in the country in Oklahoma with a Heisman winner, Baker Mayfield, against Georgia, a team that only lost one game all year at Auburn, dominated the SEC championship game. Bill, who do you like? Do you like Georgia or do you like Oklahoma?
I like Baker, the money maker. I think Oklahoma handily wins this game against Georgia.
Wow. Todd.
Man, I'm glad the proctor finally showed up. So, Oklahoma, yeah, Bill, you are correct. What an offense, right? But I don't think they've seen a defense quite like Georgia has. Georgia's more balanced. Their running back's going to run all over them. It's not going to be a shootout. I think Georgia's going to be the more slow, ball-controlled offense, and I think their defense is going to stop Oklahoma. It's not going to be a blowout by any means, but I think Georgia edges Oklahoma in this semifinal road bowl.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I break the tie. I could pick both teams for a lot of different reasons. Because I'm tied, I go with my dad up in heaven. I go with the Bulldogs. Who my dad's a UGA grad, if you didn't know that, Bill. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs. I think it could be a really good game. I love the fact that Georgia's defense, I just think, is better than Oklahoma's defense. I think when it comes down to a shootout, the team with the better defense is going to win it. It could be one stop here, one stop there. Man, it's hard to bet against Baker Mayfield. He's just one of those guys who is just a baller, you know. But there's a reason why Johnny Manziel didn't win the national championship too. So,
well, that's because he was a loser.
All right, and the big one, the trilogy. Bill, you know trilogies.
Wow.
You're a Star Wars nerd. When it comes to trilogies, you got Dabo Sweeney and really the current dynasty in Clemson aiming for their back-to-back national champions. But they have to go through a team that they beat last year to get that, Alabama, who got in arguably or considerably by a lot of different reasons in New Orleans. Not a place where Alabama has done well in the Sugar Bowl in tradition. Clemson hasn't played there often. Bill, who do you think? Clemson, Alabama, trilogy?
There you go. Even with Nick Saban getting however many days he gets to prepare. And even though I'm not a fan of Dabo Sweeney the man, Clemson beats Alabama.
Whew. All right. Todd. Todd's pacing. He's not sure who to pick.
He can't. He doesn't know what to do.
Actually, I do. This is another just absolute tough one, right?
And yes.
I don't think anyone who picks either one is going to necessarily be wrong. So what teetered me on the over the edge was what is the one motivating factor that's going to – one of these genius, super genius coaches going to use in his favor? And for me, it's Nick Saban in Alabama saying, hey, people don't think we belong here. We barely got in. We're 11-1. We lost to an Auburn team that got killed in the SEC championship game. So I think that teeters me over to the University of Alabama beating Clemson in a very close, highly contested, great football game.
Yeah. I picked Bama in the first game. I picked Bama last year. I'm going Bama again this one. I think once again, they show the world and they show college football fans that they were the team to beat. I think they get healthy. We will not pick the championship game because we'll do a special bowl. We got many, many weeks of the stare down before then, but we'll do a special bowl championship the night of the game. I got all the picks. I got them locked in. I'll go offline and try and get Corey's picks on behalf of the stare down fans. And we'll see how we all match up. But let's finish up, guys, a long episode. Todd, what do you got going on this week?
Sean, real quick, Manchester City's won 16 straight Premier League games. Unbelievable, right?
Wow.
Yeah, they're running away with it.
I think I might start rooting for Man U.
Manchester
City, yes.
Man U.
Their crosstown rivals are in second place, and they keep asking them, how are you going to catch them? And Jose Mourinho, their coach, left the press conference. He can't answer that question. Anyway, Sean, back, rejuvenated, rested, ready to go tomorrow. Meeting with the team, the Atlanta team. We're kicking off 2018 and we're starting early. We're not giving up on 17, but, in manufacturing, orders that come in this week aren't probably going to ship for a couple weeks anyway. So we are focusing our attention on 2018 and I'm looking forward to it. Not only as a team, but also personally, to reassess my goals and get ready. I'm sure we'll talk about that more in the next coming weeks. But that's going to lead off my Monday, and that's going to dominate this week, is getting ready for 2018.
Awesome. Bill, what do you got, bud?
Let's see. This week on the Real Estate Sessions podcast, we're going to revisit Alyssa Hellman. So she's doing some different things now with her life than she was doing over a year ago. And so we're going to talk to Alyssa and talk about her new company, Compass South Consulting, which is going to be exciting to talk about. And
great episode with Imran last week, by the way. Loved it.
Imran Palati, he's a great guy. And so that was a lot of fun. And then just so you know, the week after, Alexandra Filiacci. So we had a great conversation, little dynamo. So that'll be fun for the following week. I'm headed down to Lee County for a couple of days. So I'll be in Fort Myers and the Bonita Springs, Estero area, helping realtors down there be smarter and have more conversations so they in turn can
build relationships.
Okay, good.
Little delay there. Sorry.
It's all right. No worries.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, good finish there. For me, guys, it's once again, it's a home week. A lot of just following up. I've been sending out little flyers to state associations saying, what's it going to take for me to get in front of your audiences for the conventions next year. So a little of that and just a little, kind of just relaxing around home. Riley's home. It's been fun. Ryan finishes high school this week. Todd, your kids probably finish up high school this week and then home for the holidays. So it should be a good time. But a lot of sports, guys, in the next few weeks.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, midterms and then 17 days off, they told me today. So
yeah.
It'll be a tough week.
That's awesome. So, hey guys, on behalf of all of our listeners, thanks for this. We will talk again on Christmas Eve night, and we will maybe we'll do our wishes from Santa. We'll talk offline, and we'll sort of maybe go around the horn and talk about things we'd ask for if we're different sports players and coaches and teams around the country. All right.
Thanks.
All right, guys. On behalf of everybody, thanks for listening to the Stare Down.